You are absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down, seeking to get ejected for targeting, as we stiff arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham and John Spears. In this episode, the Wienerhead edition, we look back at the past 2 weeks, which included an historic, record-breaking 300 bomb, courtesy of Farewell to Hope. We dissect matchups, in particular 2-5 teams who are desperate for a win to stay in the playoff hunt. Levi breaks down movement in the power rankings, and we hear from league managers in the mailbag, which turns into a Farewell to Hope love fest. Let's get into it. All right, fantasy trash bags. It's been a couple weeks since we've been on the pod, so we've got to take a look back at the last couple of weeks. We have week 6 and week 7 in the rearview mirror, and we're going to give that a little bit of time here. Just go through some of the scores, talk about some of the highlights over the last 2 weeks. And then, of course, we'll dive into the predictions for week 8. So week 6 saw the Houdinis defeat the Plants 194 to 154. Derek now 8-3 all time versus Levi. Scoop's Troop takes down the Steamers 214 to 170. And Rob and Jason are now locked up 6-6 all time. Nice little rivalry going there. Then we had Slop Nasty edges out Victoria's Secret 219 to 209. And Jeff pulls to 7-3 all time versus Amanda. And then Joe slipped past the Bleeders 199 to 162. Joe taking a 6-5 lead over Lance in the all time series. Finally, it must be mentioned that Farewell to Hope dropped a nuclear bomb, breaking the record that's existed since 2019, the official record, which I set back in 2019 with 0.1 on the rushing receiving yards metric. All right, 330 points. He broke it with a 343.72. And not only does he break my record, but he does it against me in one of the biggest beatdowns in CFL history. And so I've now been whooped 5 times. John now gets his 5th whooping. And I'm 7-5 now versus John overall. But guys, what do we think about week 6?
Was that the biggest margin ever?
I don't know. I got to go back and look. During the break, I'll look, but it's up there.
Yeah, I would say it's at least like the top two or three. Might be a 180, but this one was John doubled your score.
Yeah.
So that was a beatdown. You always love seeing a 300 bomb there, and it ended up being the whooping of the week too. Clear whooping, sometimes there's some debate on
what to do. Sure.
But, zero debate.
Yeah, no debate on that.
I'll say that this week last week and week 6, there's just a lot of, maybe just like October in general, everyone's been dealing with the injuries. And the healthier teams they're starting to come above, and I would say that John's probably the healthiest team right now. Not to say that it's not anything right now. He's been able to have full strength this week, and it's been showing out.
There's always a few things you're chasing during the season other than wins. The whoopings and then the 300 bomb. To get them in 1 week, it's pretty awesome. My running backs combined got a 201.8 points, 66.6, 50, 25.4, 59.8. I think you called it after the draft. I'll get a 300 bomb with these running backs. Mm-hmm. Of course, Datto was a recent addition. So Datto Mania kind of lasted for 2 weeks. and it turned into a 300 bomb. And I think week six, there's only three other teams that score 200 points. So I think most of the points of the week were on my team.
Yeah.
So it wasn't very spaced out. So it's kind of a low scoring affair everywhere else. But it definitely feels good to whoop and to hit that 300 bomb and to set a record. Even though I think Derek, what was his?
351.
351. Unofficial. Of course, he's probably going to, whatever. But I did it against someone, so that feels even better. But yeah, it was kind of a weird week, but not for me. Like, I got everything and nobody else really got anything. And I'll take that every week.
Yeah. No, and you know what? I got to eat that one. And you know what? It happens. And against my brother, he beat me down big time. I still own him 7-5 all time, so I still have that on him. But he's got this to brag for many years to come. So, all right, moving on to week 7 quickly. The Steamers took on Farewell to Hope last week and squeaked by 199-194. And then Rob takes a 6-5 all time head-to-head versus John there. So Rob gets a big, much-needed win over John after that little bit of a hangover from the 300 bomb with John. Second, we've got Amanda, Victoria's Secret, who pulls away from the plants, 251-222. Levi's still 8-5 all-time versus Amanda. Third, we've got the Scoops Troop, who hang on here for a 203-193 victory over the Houdinis. And that was a close one there. Jason only 5-4 versus Derek. So another close head-to-head all-time record. And then I roll past Joe, 259-192. And oddly enough, I'm 9-3 versus Joe. I think it was another reason why he didn't like care for me all that much when it came to fantasy football. He talked a lot of smack. His son has been picking up the baton there, and he's running with it, talking a lot of smack about my cylindrical head that Jeff is bread now.
Fish.
Yeah, the bread fish. Yeah,
cylinder head.
Right, the cylinder head. So he's carrying on his tradition, and that's fine. That's all good. I'll own that. And then lastly, we had a whooping. The Bleeders busted out the whooping paddle on his alliance mate, Slop Nasty. He put it to him, 269-168. Jeff, though, is still 6-4 all-time versus Lance. So we got a whooping between alliance mates. So there's that. John takes a loss after the big 300 bomb. What else stands out to you guys?
So John, like, which feels better? 300 bomb or that losing to Rob after his losing streak?
You know, even though Rob's curse is, I said it's broken, I still like his team. I love it. But I don't think the curse is in effect anymore. It was more or less my team coming off a high, I feel like, even though they're all random players on random teams. It's not really a thing. But that's what it kind of felt like watching last week. But, yeah, Rob should run the rest of the season.
Should go undefeated.
Don't try to put a curse on it. Yes, you are.
No.
You're purposely trying to put a curse on my alliance, mate.
Curses aren't real. This team just...
Give me my hacksaw. Give me it.
But I think...
If you believe it, it's
I'm
real.
I'm tired of
it. Yeah, that's true. He believed it.
Yeah.
I mean...
And you believe it, too. That's why you said it.
I stand by it. I love this team. But I think...
No,
and more in the spirit of Halloween, we got the hacksaw doll.
That's right.
Came out.
That's what I'm saying.
It's Barbie doll.
Watch your mouth.
But in the spirit of Halloween, someone coming back from the dead is Amanda. We kind of touched briefly on it a little off the pod. Her putting up 250 points, her receivers are back. This is something that we talked about. And she just had to kind of ride the wave of awfulness until that happened. And here it is in its form. Lamb and Rice.
I thought I was getting whooped. My late push with Gibbs in the night game made it seem closer than it was, but it was not anywhere close to.
I mean, she got minus 0.8 out of Tua Tagovailoa, and it sucks too for her team. Really, is that she still got someone on the sidelines waiting to come back, and she can ride and survive it up until Burrow comes back. Her team's gonna be nasty come playoff time if she's in that picture. So
I yeah, I think her team's really, really good coming back. I don't know if Jaburo's coming back. No one's really ever came back. But, you know, she's got the IR spot that she can keep him. She's starting to get healthy. Right players are working. Like, she's got, you know, Swift had another big game. He's been having a low-key, like, great season so far.
Yeah, no, he's been
really good. And then Lamb and Rice, like, those that duo should be feared.
Yes, 100%. They're going to put up massive numbers.
And, like, going into that week, like, the week before, I was talking about the injuries, but, like, Marvin Harrison got a concussion. He ended up playing, but, like, you know, he was, like, my only healthy for, I think it was going into, like, Thursday. My only receiver that I knew that I had, could play was Worthy. And like, the rest of them were, you know, either questionable or not playing at all. Like, I could. And it seemed like right now, I'm hoping it's not, you know, soon, but, or, you know, in the long term, but, like, man, this team seems to be going in a direction, and mine's going in a different direction right now.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's the completely opposite.
I'm just struggling to get a win, but, like, it's just, so I'm excited for Amanda. We'll see later on the power rankings where she is and what the computer thinks about, but, like, I definitely am interested in her team. I agree with you as well with your team. Like, it always happens. Like, I talk about, like, whenever players have big, big games, it's hard for them to repeat. You know, like, if you repeat big, big games, then you're doing, like, MVP stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And there's always a relapse factor. Yeah. And that's what happened to you. Nothing to worry about.
It sucked. You know, obviously, I'm going to lose, but I was like,
You're 5-2 right now. I think you need, we always talk about, magic number really is 7, and your goal right now is to get 7 wins and no injuries and be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's good.
But looking at Jeff's team, like, look at that matchup. You know, the Union Brothers, I think they enjoyed their battle together. Like, what do you think of Jeff's team? Like, Algier, we talked about it on Saturday. Like, that's his number 2. Like, do you feel like Jeff, his team can rebound here?
I think Jeff's in a similar spot to me, where he's getting a little too many injuries right now. Like, Evans is probably out for the year.
Mm-hmm. I think he dropped Evans, didn't he?
Did he drop him?
I think he did.
But so he had to drop Evans. Like, that's just player gone. Nico Collins isn't playing this week with a concussion. Hampton's going to be out for, you know, at least another week or two.
Yeah.
You know, but he's sitting at 4-3.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's 4-3.
But I feel like that's the better position. Like,
he's got to be able to get healthy. Or else, you know, it's tough for Jeff. He's getting a little bit of bad luck, but he's got the wins. So he's got some wins to give.
Maybe just get Marion Hampton back. You think that kind of would
steady? I like Pickens and Chase. It's like they're the 1-2.
And May's been.
Genty needs to get it together. I think the Raiders are. Their offense is not great. No. I think they need to get it together. Drake May's been great. So he's got players that can win him games. I think if he keeps playing the waiver wire game, it's going to get better. He'll be able to, like, piece it together. And that's because he has those 4 wins, like you said.
Right, I think. And then to kind of touch on, I kind of want to touch on everybody here, Jason's team. Like, what are your thoughts on his team?
He's also got some injuries right now, but he's 5-2, so right. Like he's sitting a little better. I don't think he should be in the panic room. More
we
like
did get Aaron Jones back.
Did get Aaron Jones? And didn't really do too much.
He did. The whole Vikings team didn't do much last night.
I think he had to play him, right?
Yeah, he did. He had everybody on bye. Yeah, he had to play him.
So a little bit of bad luck there, but you know he was part of the offense. I think the Vikings just kind of sucked,
right?
Thursday, so like it was good to see him like out there and going. So he's gonna be a startable player. He's got some buys. He's got Garrett Wilson. I think he needs to get Garrett Wilson back. And I don't know what to do about Jaden Daniels. Like he just seems to keep getting hurt.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Like you gotta play him if he's healthy, but
And, like, he hasn't really shown, like, he can get into rhythm yet. So he may not be, like, someone you can consistently start with. Like, Daniel Jones is clearly his number one quarterback.
Yeah, big pickup. Like, that helped both teams.
That trade is huge for him. Because, like, without that trade, he'd have he would be picking up a quarterback off the waiver. He'd be, like, looking at Andy Dalton or Joe Flacco.
Which is what I had to do last night with Carson Wentz, and that didn't work out well. So it would have been nice for me to have Daniel Jones last night. But, yeah, that's the give and take.
I like Jason. I think Jason's got some injuries. He's got even more wins than right. Jeff.
He's got the cushion.
Players have to get healthy. Yeah. But like he can be dangerous in the playoffs, and he needs two wins, and he's probably in the playoffs. Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Derek, he's got some injuries as well, but like he has Lamar back. I'd like to see how Lamar does and. But like Derek's, he's probably in the same boat I am. With he needs to win now.
Yeah,
and stay ahead of all the 2-5 teams.
Yeah, he's just got to stay one game ahead. You know, I think getting Lamar Jackson to go a long way in doing that.
There's 4 2-5 teams. One of those teams is gonna win. I would assume like it's probably a good chance that one of those teams is gonna win this week. So Derek has to win to stay above water.
Right.
Well, that's definitely going to happen because there's 2-5 teams playing each other.
There you go.
I'm not sure which teams those are. I can check it out right now. But it is Rob and Joe.
Yeah.
Rob and Joe are both 2-5.
And Rob's off to a pretty good start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got 0 out of Quentin Jackson.
So we'll see. We haven't really dived into tiebreakers yet. It's way too soon for that. No. But like
this could all be different in 3 weeks.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. I think we'll maybe get a little more into the playoff picture whenever it's like week 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Right now we're at 8.
Yeah.
It's flying by.
But yeah. I think it's been a rough October for most of us. So like and that's what's helped me get through this month. I've been 0-4 since, or I started off 2-1 and 0-4 since. Tons of injuries, and yet I'm 7th.
Yeah.
It'd
be worse.
There's some hope here. It's probably one of the roughest stretches for me in this league that I can remember in a while. And still got a chance.
Yeah, so let's wrap this segment up and move into week 8 matchups here in a sec. But just to kind of summarize everything that's been talked about. So bottom line here is, real simply, we have 4 teams up top that are 5-2, all tied for first place. And then we have Jeff, who's 4-3, Derek, who's 3-4. So those 2 teams in the middle, and then everyone else is 2-5. So to Levi's point, if you're 2-5, it isn't quite as bad as you might think, just because you've got plenty of company down there with 2-5. So you need to beat out the other 2-5 teams, kind of hope that you can make some make up some ground against Jeff and Derek to get that 5th or 6th spot in the playoffs. And I mean, 2 weeks can change everything. So guys, it don't feel like you're out of it. If you're 2-5, you are not out of it at all. So we've got an interesting standings. We've got some good matchups, and we're going to take a look at those next. All right, everybody. It's time to look ahead at week 8. We are now moving into the second half of the season with week 7 representing the midway point. And so now we are moving into the first half of the second half of the season, and we've got some good matchups here. We're going to start with a matchup with 2 desperate teams needing a win to move on towards that playoff race. And that's the Cleveland Steamers sitting at 2-5. Going to take on Joe's Intoxicated All-Stars also at 2-5. Joe is 7-6 all time versus Rob. However, Rob owns a 208-202 average score advantage. As far as buys and injuries, Rob's got Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers on bye. Injuries, Rob's got Purdy, who's questionable, and Judy, who's questionable. As far as Joe, he's got J-Mo and Brian Thomas Jr. on buys. As you'll see, lots of buys this week. We have six teams out on buys for Joe. So we've got injuries. Bucky Irving is still out. And then Penix is questionable, and Godwin is out this week. So, Rob has four players going last night in a Thursday night game and totals 88 points, which is good. And Herbert was great, dropping 39. And then he gets 34 points out of Kamani Vidal. But Quentin Johnston gooses completely. And Addison has a subpar game as well there. But Jonathan Taylor, however, could easily drop 50. It would be good to see Barkley to have a rebound effort as well this week for Rob. For Joe, he gets 12 points from Keenan Allen last night. But Josh Allen does have a sweet matchup with Carolina coming off a bye. I like that. However, the rest of Joe's lineup has some tough matchups. For instance, DK is going up against Green Bay. Dax taking on Denver. So I think Joe is at a disadvantage this week. Again, both teams are desperate for a win as a loss would drop the losing team to 2-6. And so, you know, with Rob getting off to a solid start and has a little bit of advantage, I'm going to take the Steamers here.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think I got to go Rob too, unfortunately. He possibly could get a winning streak here. But best thing about Joe and Amy's team is the quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Dak Prescott. Now, Josh Allen, you know, he's matchup proof, but I think Carolina is pretty good at home. They're pretty feisty at home.
Yeah.
So they could, you know, give them a game.
Could. I hope not.
He may not get his an uber fantastic game. I think that's what he would Joe would need.
Yeah.
And then Dak as well has been awesome, but they're playing against Denver at Denver. So I think, and then Thursday, Rob already got 2 30-point players.
Yeah.
So I think there's too much stacked against Joe for him to come out with a W for me.
Yeah, because I was saying, you know, he's going to need Allen and Prescott, but, you know, he had Herbert and Vidal go off, so it kind of cancels that out. Joe's running backs are pretty rough, so to speak. But would you start Kittle over Henderson in this lineup?
Oh, 100%.
I think everybody's
kind of looking out for this team. I know Amy's running it for sure, but...
Yeah.
Henderson's been very bad.
Yeah, I feel like maybe you run the risk with Kittle, even though he didn't get a target last week.
I could definitely see that. I feel like him. I wouldn't blame him for starting Henderson.
No.
Just because, you know, the draft talent, he's gonna have a good game eventually. But
Cleveland,
it's risky for sure.
It's Cleveland.
Yeah,
no. I think I would lean Kittle there. But
lean Kittle there.
Maybe I think Derek listened to this. Maybe I don't know what his thoughts were. I don't know if he's helping Amy. I don't know if she's kind of doing this on her own. You know, I know she doesn't keep up with it as everyone else does.
At the very least, she should probably drop somebody to get Kittle out of the IR spot so she can put Bucky in the IR spot.
Yeah.
And then it should free up some space.
Yeah, but not to step on any toes or anything. It's just, you know, we all kind of want to see Joe's team perform as best as they can. And I know she's doing the best she can. But, I think you got to go Rob here. Just, you know, Joe's running backs are pretty bad, and Rob had a great Thursday, like Levi said. So I'll take Rob and his wonderful team.
So, yeah, so the Hacksaws are on the rise. All right, so we've got the next matchup. Another good one. Farewell to Hope. Sitting up top, sitting pretty. With 1,700 overall points, over 100 points more than second place. John sitting up top at 5-2. He's going to take on the Scoops Troop, who's also 5-2. Head-to-head record here is 5-5. So even there, 200 to 186 average score in favor of John. Buys, Scoops Troop has St. Brown. big-time buys here. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Trey McBride, Sam Laporta, David Montgomery, and Zach Charbonnet. I mean, that's about half his roster who's out on buys. And as far as his injuries, he's got Jaden Daniels, who's out, and then Garrett Wilson is questionable. And then he picks up...
Is out.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's probably out by now. Tyrod Taylor, who he just recently picked up, is also questionable. I believe he's expected to play, though. So lots of buys and injuries going on for Jason. As far as John, he's got Kyren Williams, Goff, and Trevor Lawrence on buys. No injuries. So Jason has, again, some major buy issues this week, and he didn't exactly bust out of the gate last night, as Aaron Jones, who just returned from IR, finished with just a measly 8 points. And Daniel Jones, Odunze, and Rashad White are in line for big games, and I really think that they're going to perform, but the rest of his team is a bit shaky, pun intended. John does pick up Flacco off the waiver wire, which may be a good play versus the lowly Jets there. Bijan and Achane should be explosive this week. I really like all of his other roster spots as well, so I'm going to take Farewell to Hope in a runaway here.
Yeah, like if both teams were healthy and no buys, this would be like a very interesting matchup and be, you know, basically a winner gets first place in a way. Like, I don't know the tiebreakers with Hoop Troop, but like if Jason beats John and, you know, John loses first place and it shakes up the whole standings. But it's just he's got so many injuries right now, or he got the injuries and the buys right now.
Yeah.
So I think I got to go John here. Although, I mean, like, John has invested, but like it's on his roster side here. That Atlanta Miami game, there's four players there of his roster in that game. So he needs that game to be maybe high scoring, you know, to secure his win. Which I would think it would be. Seems like it would be, but it's interesting you have a lot of players in that game.
I think I'm on the right side of those players for this matchup with Bijan, Achane, the defense, and London.
Yeah, like,
you know, maybe London gets. You know, they get up so big, they stop throwing it.
Yeah, it's like two played so bad.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to play the whatever defense is playing against them right now.
Exactly. That's exactly what I did. I feel like this could be the whooping. And I don't take a lot of pride in it, just because, you know, almost all of his teams on bye and then the other two players are hurt. So this is more of just, if I'm him, like, just get lucky, get a win. You know, I wouldn't expect much. But, you know, I'm almost full health. I'm down my starting quarterback and one of my running backs. But, like, yeah, I think this should be – I should win. I feel like it.
Yeah.
I'd be upset if I didn't.
That's what I was going to say. With the way Jason wins here is, like, big bombs to Rashid Shaheed and Ted Jones. Like, right. It's just, like, big plays just happen.
Daniel Jones has 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, like
– Yeah.
That's really – like, I don't think there's going to be, like a bunch of receptions on Jason's side that in order for him to win, it's going to be like just big play. And
it's Rocky versus Drago. You know,
it's very, first time. Very similar.
Or Rocky versus the guy that died. Can't think of his name. But yeah, like, best of luck to you, Jason.
Yeah. Paul Creed. So yeah, two big time matchups there that we just looked at. It'll be interesting to see how those unfold. But we've got their third matchup coming up here, and that's going to be myself, Black Sunday. I'm 5-2, and I'm going to take on Slop Nasty, who's sitting in the middle of the pack there at 4-3. Jeff is 6-5 all time against me with an average score of 201-194 in favor of Jeff. As far as buys and injuries, Jeff's got Jenty, Darnold, and Bam Knight out on buys. He's got Hampton on the IR. Nico Collins doesn't look like he's going to play. And Tyler Algier, who's in his lineup, is questionable, but I think he'll play. As far as myself, I only have Travis Hunter out on a bye. So there's that. And then injuries, I've got DJ Moore, Ridley, AJ Brown, Diggs, and Hall. All of them are questionable, but I believe all of them are expected to play. However, I don't love it. And because, you know, a couple of those guys...
They said Brown is out.
Oh, they said Brown is out?
Yep.
That's unfortunate. Okay. So yeah, I've got a little bit of injury issues myself. So there's that. All right, the rundown. I've got a decent performance last night from McConkey. He goes for 29.6, but I pick up Wentz as a streaming quarterback option, and he only gets me 10. Man, and they had him out there playing with a bum shoulder, and he was in serious pain. I don't know if you guys watched that game last night.
I watched it. I don't know how he got 10 points.
I wasn't
watching the band, man.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was tough to watch, and the head coach kept strolling him out there, but he gets just 10. I'm also staring at multiple questionable designations as I just mentioned, but I think most of them's going to play. So I do call up Kyle Pitts, John's favorite player from the waiver wire, so we'll see what I get from him. But I do love Hurts this week versus the Giants. I would say A.J. Brown, but he's out. CMC should get his as well. For Jeff, his running backs are either hurt or on a bye, so bring in Tyler Algier and Breshard Smith. It looks like Nico might not get through concussion protocol as well. He's only projected 159 points by ESPN, so he's going to need some hero ball here. Actually, you know what? This is going to be the whooping, John. You said I'm whooping Jeff big time. Bring it on. Yeah, it's a whooping. And it's going to be more about his team. His team's just decimated, injuries and everything.
I'll say that, yeah, for Jeff to win, he's got to get pretty lucky just from his injuries. Like, even without A.J. Brown, your team's fairly healthy compared to Jeff's. And I think he needs clunkers from you. I don't think he's going to, like, just – have some magical, like, 275 game.
Yeah.
Like, he's got some players that can put up 70, but they have tough matchups, and then he's got players has to fit in the meantime. So I think and you already got the 29 out of that McConkey, which, you know, it's fine, but, like, I think you need to be scoring like 190, and then he somehow squeaks like a 200-210 game. Yeah. And I think the hill's a little too high for him, or mountain's too high for him to climb this week. So I'm gonna take Brad.
Well, you said it right. It's a hill.
Yeah, it's
Brad's a hill. He's not.
I didn't want to. Yeah.
No. Oh, look at Mr. Cocky Pants.
Well, I'm just saying. Look,
the number one, Mr. Number
he's
one.
He's got a bullet in the chamber, Jamar Chase. He's due. He is good for a 78 point game a season. He's gonna need it this week.
With Flacco, I don't know if he's due for that with Flacco. But okay.
What did he have last week?
He could. Six last week.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
So I think he has a guy on his team that can kind of weather some of the storm with his running backs, you know, with Breshard Smith. And Algier might be in a good spot this week against Miami. They get up big and, you know, they just run him the rest of the way, you know, second half.
Don't hate it.
It's possible that Jeff can win. I am taking Brad, but it's possible.
That's a very generous analysis for Jeff. Okay.
I think it's a fair assessment. Keep going. I mean, you got 10 out of wins. Yeah. I mean, you act like you're projected 250.
Okay.
But, and, you know, Diggs, what if he drops a goose egg and now Brown's out? I mean.
What if Diggs gets 11 catches?
Well, if I had nuts, I'd be your uncle. How'd that go? My aunt had nuts, she'd be my uncle.
Yep.
So,
again, very generous lean towards Jeff here.
No, because I think when you have Chase, like, I like Chase. And I think, you played again. You've had him. You've seen what he can do sometimes. And it can be devastating. Especially if, you know, you were to have a little lackluster week. Like a 70-point game like that can kind of turn the tides. I'm taking you, but I think Jeff has a chance.
Yeah.
And there was a tattle. Jeff, we were talking about a trade. And then as I was leaving on Saturday, his wife come running upstairs and she said, "Hey, by the way, Jeff said, whatever offer you send him, he's going to turn it down." So I sent him nothing. So for the tattle, he got
nothing.
He got nothing. But he got a little love for me on the potential Maple win.
All right. So I get kind of backhanded compliments from my podcaster hosts here. And we're all picking me. So we're going to move on. We've got another good one, the Houdinis, who are right in the middle of the pack, sitting at 3-4. They're going to take on the upstart Victoria's Secret, who's 2-5. And get this, guys, Derek is 8-1 all time versus Amanda, averaging a 213-188 win. Now, Houdinis, as far as buys, he doesn't have any buys, but... Excuse me. Lamar is questionable, but expected to play. Waddle also questionable, along with Olave, Kincaid, and Mooney. I believe most, if not all, of those are expected to play, though. As far as Amanda, she does have Kupp and Matt Stafford out on byes. And then Kamara, Swift, and Jacobs are all questionable. But again, I think they'll all play. So, another big matchup here versus teams that are battling for the final playoff spot. No players for either team in last night's game, so no Thursday night action here. But I'm sure Derek is thrilled to get Lamar back, and he's got a great matchup versus the Bears defense. I think Lamar and Henry are going to go nuts against the Bears. I really like them both to explode. I also like Waddle, Dobbins, and Mahomes this week. However, Amanda gets Rice and Lamb back, which is great, but Lamb is taking on Denver, so which that might lower his ceiling a bit this week. But I think Swift, Kamara, and Jacobs really need to produce for Amanda here to hang in, but I don't think it's going to be enough. So give me the Houdinis.
I think I'm going to go the other way. I think Amanda is starting to pick up some steam here with Rice and Lamb. I think they're matchup proof. I think Lamb's going to get his 115-7 basically every week. DK or Tennessee, I think he's just there for some, you know, potential big play. I don't think expecting too much, but the rest of the players there, they all have good matchups. Like Kamara and Swift, I like their matchups.
Yeah.
Jacobs, I think if Green Bay's winning, which I think they are, I think it's through Jacobs. I think they just, like, run the ball a bunch on him. And I think this is probably going to be very this is probably my toughest pick this week. I'm going to go with Amanda, even though with Tua, I don't feel great about it. But we'll see how Tua goes. Lamar, yeah, I agree with you with Lamar, too. I think this is a must-win.
Yeah.
For the Ravens, I almost in our Bozo bet. I almost picked the over on that game. I feel like that game's gonna have a lot of points. Baltimore or Chicago.
Yeah.
I would have supported that. Yeah. I could see that.
So I could definitely see Derek winning. Derek probably like Derek has. He needs to win this week to stay above water. But also Amanda is picking up steam. I think the wins are gonna start coming for her. So give me Amanda. And yeah,
I think this game can go off the rails for Amanda here with Derek's team. Because I'm thinking, like, if Tua has a great game, throws up a monster game, he's got Waddle. And that's where a lot of those points for Tua are going to come from. And he's just going to wipe that out. So he's got, I think he's kind of bulletproof a little bit versus the thing I think that could hurt him. Like y'all were talking about Lamar Jackson and Henry versus Chicago. I mean, this game, I don't even know if Rice and Kelsey are going to play much of a role. I would be shocked if it did, but I don't think so. I think Derek might run away with this. It is a must-win for Amanda, but bad timing, I think, because Derek's team's looking pretty good right now. Give me Derek.
All right. So we've got that one in the books. We've got one more matchup. We've got the Purple Bleeders, who are at 5-2, tied for first place, taking on It's What Plants Crave, who are 2-5, looking to crawl up into that playoff picture. Head-to-head, Levi is 5-2 all-time versus Lance, averaging a 205-186 win. As far as byes, Lance has Kenneth Walker and JSN out on byes. Injuries, he's got McCarthy, who's out, and Egbuka, who's questionable at last check. I think he's going to play, though. So there's that. As far as Levi, he's got Gibbs, Bowers, Marvin Harrison, Kyler Murray, ETN, and Puka all out on byes. On top of that, he's got Downs and Pearsall, who are questionable. And in fact, is Pearsall actually out now?
Yeah, he's out.
So Pearsall out. So, man, Levi's really struggling with byes and injuries this week. But Levi reverses the Thursday night curse last night by getting a combined 50 points from his tight end and his defense, which you'll take that. That's a big-time bonus, getting that many points from your tight end spot and your defense. And so you kind of needed that with that bye-pocalypse this week, and I kind of like that. to springboard you into this. Caleb Williams and Dart should also be good in their respective matchups, but you're going to need something from Judkins, JCM, and your receivers. Lance limps out of the gate on Thursday night with just 24 total points between Mason and Jefferson, so that's not the start he was looking for. He's also rolling out Malik Washington versus a stingy Atlanta pass D, which I don't like. And so Levi's back's against the wall up here at 2-5. He's got a bye apocalypse, but I say he pulls this one out. Give me the plants.
Yeah, like I haven't even just figured out my full roster yet, but the Thursday night game has really like got me back into this game. I'm facing against, like, I didn't like that I was playing Lance this week, but after looking at the team, like, he's got the buys and the matchups that are, like, favorable for me. Like,
yep.
I think if I just score, I may not even need to score 200 points mm-hmm. and win. So I'm hoping it's a low scoring game so I can have a chance. But yeah, like, I don't know how I'm going to win, but I'm picking myself because I believe in this team.
Sure. No, I fully support that, but I guess I'll be the reality check. You're too many buys. I mean, too many, and you don't even know. Of course, you do have some options for receiver, but this is almost insurmountable. But you did get the best case scenario on Thursday. You put up points, and he did not. So we both got 8 guys left. I don't necessarily like your 8 guys versus his. You're just too thin. I've been here before. You need miracle plays. You need Worthy to explode. It might be over before Monday night. I think that, Green Bay game is going to be important, with Rodgers versus Dobbs. This is tough, man. I mean, it's tough. But reality, over half your team's on a bye or hurt.
Yeah,
that's tough.
I know. Like a lot of these players are not gonna hit their projection. I just need a couple of them to like have monster games, and then hope really that
you need his team to fall on his face.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, I don't think you win.
No,
he has to completely lay a turd. Lance is pretty good at not laying turns.
He's also playing Malik Washington, who could goose.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Atlanta, have you looked at Atlanta's pass defense? It's elite. I looked at it today. They have not allowed a quarterback to throw over 200 yards this season. Malik Washington isn't doing jack.
Yeah, so, I agree that Malik Washington, okay, that's a black eye.
Okay, well, he's already got a couple black eyes with Mason and Jefferson.
Well, okay, he's got James Cook, who can throw at 50. Does Levi have a guy on his team that can throw?
Cook's playing against Carolina, whose run defense is really good. I mean, he might have a good game, but I wouldn't expect him to.
I mean, I'm not trying to crack. It's just the situation Levi's in. That's just tough. I mean, if he had,
well, I don't think Lance is in a great. You act like Lance is sitting pretty right now. I don't think Levi is.
This week. Yeah.
Well, I'd be thrilled to play Levi, but unless I were Lance,
I would be more in where you're thinking. If he had
Gibbs. Who else do you love?
If he only had Gibbs back in his lineup, I'd be like.
Levi, who else do you love on Lance's team? To have a they're just going to have a good game.
Bo Nix
against Dallas.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm with you. I have a low chance of winning, but if I do win, all my buys are done.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like
I'm, yeah. I get a leg up on all the 2-5 teams. Absolutely. And Derek.
Like there's so much for you to win here that if you do win, it's fantastic. It doesn't hurt Lance much, but I feel like he's just caught you at a bad time. You know, you're in a desperate, and you got to make a pickup. Worthy hasn't been great. I mean, Dobbs has been pretty decent, but he doesn't explode. Gaston was a great pickup, wonderful pickup.
But Dobbs is just like, you pick him up, he gets a touchdown, and you put him back on the waiver wire for somebody else.
Exactly.
Wide receiver.
I mean, look, guys, Aaron Rodgers is playing against Green Bay, who might be the best defense in the NFL. Would you be shocked if Aaron Rodgers just throws up a dud? I wouldn't.
I mean, I feel like he's
against Green Bay
for that game.
I mean, I don't think he's going to have a great game against Green Bay. Malik Washington could get zero.
Let's say he gets all right. Zero.
Cook could have a mediocre game. Nick should have a decent game. Flowers against Chicago should have a decent game. Egbuka looks good there, but he's questionable, so who knows? Maybe he's nicked up. I like Tyler Warren there. I don't know. I think...
Man, I'm not saying it's impossible.
I think it's...
I laid out how I went.
Yes.
Like, I cannot score over 220. No. There's no way I'm scoring over 220.
No.
So, and Lance has been scoring 240 all year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I need him to not... I need him probably to not crack 200 this week.
Well, and if you didn't get 50 points out of Thursday night, I wouldn't be saying this.
Right.
I wouldn't be saying none of this.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's got a 50-point advantage.
It does.
Yeah.
Because... So, anyway. All right, guys. So, we've got all the matchups. We've argued about all of them. They are all critical as we're in a pivotal kind of week with all these buys, all these injuries that are piling up. 5-2 versus 2-5, 2-5 versus 2-5, teams in the middle of the pack. So it's going to really start taking shape over these next few weeks as we move into the second half of the season. And it's going to be exciting to see how this all shakes out. And so we're going to move on to the power rankings, where Levi is going to show us a little more about where we all stand. And we'll do that next.
All right, everybody, we're going to jump into the power rankings, and we haven't seen the power rankings for 2 weeks, so a little bit of a change here, but, like, not as much as, you know, I don't think there's any, like, surprises here, other than, well, we'll get into it, but there's one little surprise. I feel like, we'll go ahead and talk about it. We'll start with teams 9 and 10. We got 10... with 29.8 points, Victoria's Secret, and number 9 with 31.85, Intoxicated All-Stars. These two teams have been basically at the bottom most of the year, partially from injuries and not really performing to what, you know, expectations. Although Joe and Amy are pretty close to the number 8 team. And the number 8 team is the big surprise for me, which we'll get into, is at 32.15, only a 0.4 from 9, the Houdinis. So that means that there's two and five teams above the Houdinis. The computers don't really like Derek's team right now.
Who would? Trash.
Is John likes the team, so I feel like it's got a little bit of a
Rupert.
John's favorite teams, other than his team, I would say, are not doing great right now. The computers don't really like Derek's team right now. I think maybe after next week, and he has some good matchups this week with the Ravens going against Chicago. Lamar has a big game. I think we'll see Derek and the Houdinis move up if he gets the win.
So, if I may, I didn't have a segment for this, but I thought this would probably be a good time to do so. But Derek did surpass a 20,000 point mark after last week's game. So, he is the first to 20,000 points.
I'm sure Derek will have a banner made or something.
John is snoring very loudly. He's not interested at all in this. I'm not either, but I mean, I just thought it was worth mentioning. All right, moving on.
All right.
Wake up, John.
No, you back, John?
Yeah, sorry.
So we got Derek at 8. That's really the biggest surprise for me. So, like, they have Derek pretty low. Even he has a full win above the next two teams, which is me and Rob. They got a number 7 with 33.8, which is a point or 1.7 above the Houdinis, Cleveland Steamers.
Too low.
Got the win back. They rewarded Rob for beating the curse and jumping. Let's see, where was the Cleveland Steamers when we last looked? Oh, no, they were still at 7, so they don't even care about the curse. So gave a couple more points, but stuck him at seven, kept him above a Houdini's.
Brad's playing.
Brad decided to. So we got John sleeping, and we got Brad playing with his wrestling doll.
You're talking about Rob. Oh!
Hacksaw, baby.
So, yeah, Brad is proud that his teammate is
on the rise. That's all that matters.
At least number six, which I alluded to, it's me. It's Will Plant's grave at 34.75. So they got me almost a full point above Rob. I think I've scored quite a bit of points. Just haven't been able to turn that into wins yet. We'll see. This is a big week for for my team. If we can come out of this, even if we lose, if we just get a little more healthy, I'll feel a lot better for this team. But we have taken a slip. We were fourth, I believe. No, we were fifth. Fifth 2 weeks ago, dropped to six. I mean, I don't blame them for doing that. I haven't won in a month.
Well, look. You're not going to say it, but I am, okay? Because I mentioned it off the podcast, and you didn't want to. You're too modest to mention it. But Levi, I think he is fourth in overall points. Problem is, I think you got second or third most points against. So you've had some bad luck. I mean, you had Puka Nacua with an epic run there early in the season. Your team was looking primed to be one of the best in the league. And all of a sudden, you're now looking, you had some injuries and some buys now. And now you're all of a sudden, you're looking at 2-5. That's fantasy football. Yeah. And I just, what I want to do is, I want to say to you that I can relate because I know what it's like to be there. I know what it's like to be at the top of the league with some of the most scored points and to be out of the playoff picture. Look, and so that there's something to that.
Look, it's a long season.
Don't play modest.
These are play. You know, game weeks are already past. I'm looking at it as I'm just trying to become 1-0 and move forward.
Boy, and, that's some coach speak I've ever heard it.
I'm just trying to be warned about
the opponent this week.
Mm-hmm. The opponent this week, we're on to the Bleeders.
All right, Mark Stoop. Get back to work. We're just going to get back to work.
That's the thing he called me.
Agreed.
But yeah, I'm not going for me. Oh, pity me. They scored so many
points. I am.
I'm not going to go that
track. I am for you.
I'm focused on the Bleeders. I'm going to try to pull out a win here with waiver wire
players. I respect it.
But yeah, I don't blame the computers for putting me in six. I'm a little surprised. The only thing is I feel like for me, I'd probably have Derek ahead of me and Rob just because of the win there. Like, I don't think there's that big of a difference between those three teams right now. But after my team, there's a big jump. I think these next five teams, the computer really likes. Maybe the top four teams that the computer really likes. The number five team, Slop Nasty, feels like it's in a comfortable position right now with 38.7. So that's almost a full 4 points between five and six is Slop Nasty. So they're really like making some separation here from the bottom.
Yeah.
So I think right now, like we said, there's 4, 5, and 2 teams, 4, 2, and 5 teams. There's two groupings in the power rankings here, and then Slop Nasty is the bottom of it just because of the injuries, having a little bit of poor luck but it's starting
to. The are the little river of poop that separate the top from the bottom.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Call it poop river.
Poop river. Who didn't do diddly poo?
Diddly poo. They didn't get first down. They couldn't. Every time they got the ball, they scored.
I almost sent that to the group chat. Like if Gibbs hadn't done that last, I think I was gonna send that video to the group chat. That what was it? It was Jim Mora.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Jeff's there. He's kind of hanging around. Let's see if he's
loitering.
Yeah, is he loitering or is he lingering?
Mm.
We'll find out.
We'll find out, absolutely.
Next we got at number 4 with 41.65, so that's almost 3 points from Slop Nasty. Scoops Troops, which I feel like they're a little unreal.
We just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
That's how I had, so around 4 o'clock Sunday, that's how it felt.
We should have brought a reporter over.
There's no better clip than that. That's the cake.
That's football. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Jason. I think I put him a little higher. I put him up with you, Brad. You're a third with 44.8. They got you 3.2 ahead of Jason. You scored quite a bit of points, but you did get whooped week 6. So they had to separate you a little bit from Lance and John at 1-2, which brings it to 2 with 50.85, which is 6 points ahead of Brad. That's like that's the biggest gap, I believe, between anyone, is Team Verbal Leaders, Lance. Well, Lance has been probably the most consistent team this year. Hopefully that doesn't maintain this week, but right now he's basically been scoring the same amount, you know, 240 every week. But Peter's still like one team ahead of them, just because I think of the ceiling that you can put, John. They got you in first place with 51.9, and you were, when we last looked at the power rankings, you were second, and now you're the clear number one. So we'll see how you can deal with the target on your back. And
easy peasy.
Hopefully you don't get the same curse that Rob got.
I had it last year. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
But yeah, that'll do for the power rankings. Like I said, nothing crazy. Houdini's at 8 seems like the biggest outlier to me.
Right there in that
river. Should be 10th?
No, I think they should be probably 6. But
okay,
we'll see. Well, it'll change again next week. Like there's gonna be a lot of movement this week because there's 2 and 5 teams playing each other. There's 5 and 2 teams playing each other, and we'll see how that shakes out. Now we'll move on to the offers report, and there was quite a bit of pickups because of me basically like having to figure out a team. For me, I spent up on 3 players. I got Aronde Gadsden for $187. Jeff bid up only 32. I had to make sure that I could get him because my tight end hasn't really done much this year. I had to go for the fences. This is the odd year for me because I haven't really spent a lot of money. This is probably the most money I've spent all year. Yeah. I still had $800 going into this week. So I was fine spending $187. And then I bid $123 on Josh Downs. Nobody else bid, so just wasted the money there. But I feel like he's could be a big play player and could help me get a long touchdown. And Romeo Dubes, he's the take a penny, leave a penny receiver. I'll drop him next week for somebody to pick up.
Spend $100 on him.
It's to take 100, leave 100.
Yeah, yeah, especially when Christian Washington comes back and that receiver room gets even more messy than it already is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jaden Reed is expected back by week 9 or 10. So
yeah,
that room is going to be a mess.
So John, you bid 68, which is hilarious. You tried to outbid Jeff, who didn't bid on him.
You didn't bid 67?
But you did outbid Jason, who bid 67.
There you go.
$1 more.
I feel like we should do like an award of like best skim off the top trophy of the year. Like if you can predict that, yeah.
Yeah, if you can read the room.
Yeah, so and that was a... Even though you didn't get the player.
Jeff didn't bid, he didn't bid 69, he bid 68.
John bid 68, and Jason bid 67.
Okay, because Jeff's the one that bid 69 on all of it.
He bid 67.
Oh, 67. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
That was my thoughts going in, that's why I went 68.
I got you.
And then Houdini's also trying to get dupes for 55. I ended up getting him. And then, I had to drop Bachel Tootin finally. Who I've been, holding on his handcuff. He had to go.
You can grab him next week.
I'll probably try to get him next week. Trey Tucker had to let go because they're on bye. And then Harold Fannin was fine, but, I don't think he's a home run tight end that I needed this week. Gadsden. And then Jeff got Kyle Manunga for $78. Nobody else bid on him. That's a little surprising. We talked about some teams that needed running backs, and I feel like Manunga is better than some of those other running backs that
worth a shot
starting this week.
Yeah, he's definitely worth a shot.
So,
trash.
He can get a touchdown. He's not bad. There was a bidding war for Joe Flacco. Although you got him with the $68 this week. And nobody bid 6-7. Jason did put 45 on Joe Flacco, which wasn't enough. Smart call dropping Dylan Gabriel. I think jury's out on him right
Speaking
now.
Speaking of trash.
Like jury's in.
Jury's in.
The verdict is in. He sucks.
And Brad tried to get Joe Flacco for $1. Try to get him for free.
This bargain hunter.
Yeah.
Ben's bargain.
That's how much I really wanted him. Let me tell you.
So yeah, John again. Like me and you've been. We were active this week. Picked up the Falcons defense for 37.
What'd you bid?
I bid $1. Okay. I think it was okay, not getting them. And I didn't want to spend too much. So
I think the
I don't know what the right amount was. So
I
didn't
know. Well.
I think the Falcons may be the best defense in the league. Unbelievably.
That's Cleveland.
Well, we can split hairs, but the Falcons were not considered one of the better defenses heading into the season. And they are legit good. Like I said, I looked at it earlier. They have not I think 180 yards is the most passing yards they've allowed to a quarterback.
They beat 30-0 in a game.
They allow 180 yards is the most they've allowed to a quarterback. They've allowed some rushing yards, but their pass defense is legit. Yeah.
They got beat 30-0. They only allowed 24 at 30, and they still got 8 points in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good. Their lowest score all year was 6 against Tampa, against Bapo.
Hacksaw, you all right?
We lost Hacksaw. He got a concussion.
He's okay. He's
in concussion next week.
He's hanging tough, man. He's an animal, dude. Yeah. He ain't worried about some concussion.
So I think the Falcons. You could play them. Maybe you don't play them against Buffalo or Lamar or something.
Buffalo's but scary.
I really like them at home. I think they can really score a lot of points at home.
I had the Rams D, who's been really good, and they were on bad.
Great pickup. And then Derek got Dalton Kincaid for $1, which he'll never get that $1 back.
I didn't know all that.
Pick him up for $1.
Kincaid? He's good.
He's fine.
He's better than Fannin or some of these other guys you've been throwing around.
I didn't.
I like Fannin. I think I'd rather have Fannin.
I think I'd rather Kincaid.
Probably push there.
Slightly better offense than Buffalo over Cleveland. Just slightly.
That is fair. That'll do for the offer sports. It's pretty active this week for good reason. We have six buys. brutal for everybody. So, so that'll do for the power rankings and the pickups. We'll move on to the mailbag next.
All right, guys, we're going to jump into the mailbag. First up is Travis. He wrote in. Who or what team is looking like the best QB wide receiver combo right now, whether it's one receiver or multiple? Who do you think has the best QB?
So off the top of my head, like with the Lamb back, Dak and Lamb seems pretty good.
Pickens is good too.
Maybe he's talking about like teams or fantasy teams.
Right? Oh, he's talking about just the teams?
Yeah, like with a quarterback and the receivers. Who has the best receivers, I think, on fantasy?
Let's see. So, I mean,
Scoops. Amanda's probably. That's probably be Amanda now.
Yeah.
Right.
So the fantasy team. Amanda's got a good. Jeff has two good ones with Pickens and Chase. Lance has JSN and somebody else good. Justin Jefferson. I think that's probably
good. It's probably those three are probably for sure. It's not Brad's team. It sucks.
Jason's team. He's got Nate Flowers too. So I think I'd give
probably Lance.
I'd lean Lance
still. Yeah, he's 5-2. So yeah, we'd probably go Lance and his beautiful face. Going to the text thread. Rob wrote in, since John's curse has been broken, what will happen with John's winning ways? Will John start losing now? Nope.
We'll only find out through, you know, whether we don't really know if the curse is broken yet, Rob. I hate to say it. We got to see this week if you can piece together a win.
No,
they all picked you.
Because I did like his
team. Guys, the curse is broken. He quit. He stopped the losing streak, so the curse is broken. Now, does that mean he's going to continue to win? No, but the curse is broken. The losing streak is broken. All right? Okay.
You could still, you know, derail his season. It could just not be a losing season or a losing streak. It's just that, you know, he's had...
He loses more than he should.
Let me opine. Yes, Rob broke the streak, but also, no, John is not going to start losing. As much as I may want that, which I don't really care, but I think John probably has the best team I've ever seen.
Ever seen?
Ever.
Oh, is this some curse crap right here?
It's the best team. I mean, those running backs are stacked. I mean, the receivers are putting up.
Running backs are good.
I mean, it's just.
I might have the best running backs the league's ever seen. Maybe. It's up there.
Jeff had a mailbag question about that. We can talk about that.
Well, first, Rob also wrote in, who will be the MVP of the Chaos League this year?
What does that mean?
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to say player.
Definition.
I wouldn't say MVP is an owner or whatever.
A player?
Yes.
Kind of looking like Bijan.
Bijan's up there.
Taylor.
Taylor,
for sure. McCaffrey.
And JSN's
in JSN is up there. It's too early. Can't chase out. It looks like they have kind of.
Yeah, it was going to be Puka. I mean,
it could be.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I think it was clear.
Don't think he can be now because he's going to miss too many games. Yeah. And I think Bijan and even you could throw McCaffrey in there.
Oh, absolutely.
McCaffrey.
If he comes back next week, it's not that big of a deal. Because, like, one of the weeks was a bye.
Yeah.
He's only missed 1 week.
Yeah. He's still definitely. I think he's still the MVP to this point.
Oh, he's the MVP of the first part of the season.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure.
Will he be in the second half of the season? It's yet to be seen.
Yeah, he has a chance though.
He was
freaking nuts.
I mean, I'm not saying I'd bet against it. I wouldn't. But we'll see because you know, man, Bijan is on a run. CMC has been consistent, dude. He's putting up
Taylor.
Taylor has been amazing. No, the Colts, to me, are the biggest story of this season so far. Yeah. I mean, who saw Daniel Jones?
The Giants, too.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. The Colts have been so much better than them.
They definitely look like they get
the Colts. Dude, who saw Daniel Jones being?
We call him Indiana Jones now.
Well, whatever. Who saw that? I mean, Anthony Richardson was, I drafted Anthony Richardson late in the draft. Nobody drafted Daniel Jones at all. Who saw him leading one of the best teams in the NFL? Who?
No, nobody.
That is the best story in the NFL, hands down. It's not even close second.
I'll say that, I don't know if Lena could have predicted this, but that she did like Daniel Jones before. She was getting on me first. I said the Colts sucked before. And Lena was like, well, Daniel Jones isn't that bad.
Why is she not managing your team?
I
said it for days.
I do run things past her, but.
Well, you should.
You put more time. I'll have her become the head.
No, but that's to me the whole Colts organization. I mean, it looks like he was just the perfect fit there with Jonathan Taylor and look, Tyler Warren has been amazing as well. I mean,
their receivers don't scare you, but they're good.
No, they're good. Michael Pittman's fine. You know, he's consistent. Yeah, they fit.
The defense has been solid.
The defense has been good. So.
Oh, yeah, as far as, I guess Brad would say the MVP this year is the Colts.
Yeah, sure.
I would say that.
Okay. Jason wrote in, I think the only way I can beat John this week is via a curse. My team is by an injury ravage this week, so it might take a miracle or a curse to pull out a victory.
Well, don't worry. Brad's
trying his hardest.
Well, I was going to say, don't worry, Jason. I've already done that. So, moving on. I've already laid the curse on
Jeff wrote in, update on Brad's head. Still a cylinder. Do y'all think the punishment was that Derek dealt to John for losing, and will the curse be being lifted to propel the Steamers to a win streak littered with 300 bombs? Do you think Rob Steen has a 300 bomb in it?
Oh, 100%. And I'm gonna say that Derek's pissed at you. Straight up pissed. Like
physical things happen to you?
I don't know.
Hmm?
I don't think we
even didn't slam me into a locker or anything.
I don't think we even discussed it.
No.
Dude, you are ruining the reputation of the Strong Arm Alliance.
I'm in first.
Yeah, but not after last week was rough, man. Like, I know that he's pissed.
What do you have, little secret chats?
I mean, he's already pissed off enough because his bozo bets have stunk. Okay. And he called me a wiener head on the text line.
You were being a wiener head.
I know I was being a wiener head, but you know, come on, we're all wiener heads. Who's not a wiener head? Derek, you not a wiener head too?
He is for sure a wiener head.
We all are. That's what we are. We're wiener heads.
I'll say that you took the bullet by being a wiener head, and it jinxed your team in London. Yeah. And you lost.
Yeah.
And now you had to
pay. That's fair. That's fair. That's the
head of the week.
That's the cost of being a wiener head.
That should be our new way we call the bet, is the wiener head.
The wiener head bozo.
Yeah. Who's the wiener head of the week? Brad is this week.
Fine.
He's a wiener head.
Fair enough.
All right. Jeff wrote in, is John's running back room maybe the best one ever in the CFL on one team?
Yes. Next question.
I mean, Derek
had a good.
No, one. There hadn't been better running
Derek
backs on one team.
Derek was pretty good when he won.
No, there hadn't been better running backs on one team.
But I did at one. I think it was week 6 or 7. No. I had 5 of the top 11. 4 in the top 10.
No, no, there has not been.
That was insane. Yeah. And that was when Dowdle kind of exploded for 2 weeks.
And that was your draft strategy. And I remember when you did that, I thought, man. I don't know, because he really paid for it on quarterback. But you know what? You've been able to weather that. You've had good enough quarterback play to get you through. And the guys that you've drafted have more than met their draft position. You know, so.
You definitely drafted the, like, going through. I think you had the best draft. Players, I'm not gonna say the injury, but like they've done really well.
Yeah.
And you know, you haven't really had to make, you know, impactful pickups. Like my team, I had to make pickups in the impacted. But I did pick up Dalvin. Missed on some drafts
for those 2 weeks, so Dalvin was pretty amazing. But yeah, I didn't need it because I had Cat Scataboo on my bench. He got me 44 that week.
Yeah.
So it kind of was a weird.
And the week you beat me with your 343, I don't know that I've ever seen two players have a first half like Bijan and London did.
Oh, that was
London crazy. Had, what, 8 catches for 140 yards at halftime? At halftime. And Bijan had, an
80-yard touchdown.
He had an 80-yard touchdown run. Plus, he had catches.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was, like, over. Like, that was an amazing first half of Atlanta.
Great with London. Like, I have London in another league. And, like, he had that game. And then the next week, he stunk.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what is that about?
I don't get it. But... yeah, I'd say the running backs are definitely up there in the running for up until this point. You know, anything can happen. But from my memory, just because I have 5 of the top 11, it's just insane.
If I pick up Austin Eckler off the waiver wire, would I be able to trade him to you for somebody?
I don't need a running back.
You love Eckler.
Oh, I do love Eckler.
Yeah, he's done.
I tried. He loves Eckler.
But it's hard to... without having everyone's roster ever in the CFL, it's hard to like.
I think Derek's the team. The year he won, his was pretty loaded. But
I like this.
Not 5 out of 5 in the top 11. I'd say that's probably pretty hard.
Yeah, like.
Just say it's the best. Because it is.
We don't know. But
the thing is, only thing I'll say is, whenever Todd Gurley was at his peak, that beat any running back room. It didn't matter.
I think someone I think it was. Started this year, I think Todd Gurley was still ranked like top 5 in most something of fantasy.
Going into this year. He won people so many championships. It didn't matter what other running backs you had.
Yeah, it was insane what he did.
I think Todd Gurley plus a trash can beats that.
Yeah, it was. I wish I could find
it. I think he's still pretty good.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I don't know. McCaffrey had some. Pretty banger years. I don't know. I think I put McCaffrey's up against Gurley's because Gurley didn't get the catches that McCaffrey did.
I'm
just thinking of his playoff games.
Oh, his playoff run. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
That's all the questions I got for this week. So I'll send it out again for hopefully we do another pod next week. I know it's Halloween next Friday, so maybe we'll have to move some things around, but we'll hope to have another pod out. Thanks for all your questions. That's all we got.
All right, Chaos Fantasy Trash Bags. We're at the midway point of the season, and some teams are feeling good at the top. Two teams, including Derek, are riding that Mr. Average vibe in the middle, and others are sitting in the basement at 2-5. However, there's still another half of the season left to play, and the script can be flipped if you're savvy enough to enhance your team through trades, waiver pickups, or just sheer luck. But in the meantime, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember that nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.